Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
Good morning. What a beautiful day. You know, we got some rain yesterday. We really needed that, though, across the state. Hopefully it got down to some of those fire dry areas, too. But looks good for the grass and the trees. I mean, I'm looking out my studio window, and it is just going to be beautiful. And the long-term forecast is beautiful for the next couple of weeks, at least. So it's going to be great times to get outdoors. Of course, tomorrow is Father's Day. Maybe your dad does some outdoor activity. What a great day to go fishing with your dad or just have a backyard barbecue. Just remember to at least give him a call and thank him for at least how you turned out or blame him, whatever the case may be. My kids might call and blame me for how they turned out, but no, I love them all. So it's great. Over the course of the next few weeks, too, we're going to talk a little bit about safety off and on during almost every show. We've got a lot of people getting outdoors that haven't been steadily going outdoors for a while, or they're taking up new activities, and there's been a number of drownings. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. But there's also things like skin cancer and lightning. We did a survival show a few weeks ago. You can go to the Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on Facebook and scroll back, and you'll see an article I wrote for the Denver Post on how to keep when you get lost or hurt in a day hike or a camp backpacking hike, how to keep it from turning into a tragedy and how to survive. So you might want to go back and look at that. We're also going to talk a lot of fishing, and we're going to start talking hunting more and more as we get ready for the season. So we got a lot to cover. Let's go to the phones right now. And joining us, he's a frequent contributor to the show. He guides here in Colorado. He used to work at the Camp Fish for In Fishermen many years ago. He's getting a little long in the tooth now. He's not as old as mine, but he's been around a while. Has a degree in fisheries biology, but he's also a great contributor to this show and an accomplished angler, Brad Peterson. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Terry.
You like that? You know, you're starting to get a little older.
I know. We were discussing that just yesterday. That we did show back on one of your first seasons, and I don't know, you haven't seemed to age much, but I sure have.
Well, I have a picture of Dorian Gray in my office, but trust me, I've aged plenty. But, you know, you're talking right about, and that's why I brought it up, because you actually drove the camera boat for the pilot to my television show in the 90s, and of course, you've been a contributor both on my television and radio show for many, many years. But we did a show on bottom bouncing, and that's a technique we're going to talk about today. And you got some calls because that show is on my YouTube channel, The Best of Fishing with Terry Wickstrom. And I'll tell you what, when we get to talking about techniques, everything we did in that show is still spot on to me how I would run a bottom bouncer. But let's talk a little bit first about what are you seeing out there? Where is the action?
You know, right now, I think is going to be some of the best fishing. Like you say, our weather for the next 2 weeks is going to be fantastic. The fish have finally pretty much all set up in their summer patterns. The lakes are at about the fullest capacity they're going to be. So the bite is going to be phenomenal wherever you want to go. And the other thing is, runoff is starting to taper off. So if you want to go hit the streams, there's an opportunity to go fish for trout up in the streams. I'm out here at St. Vrain right now, and the panfish bite is doing really well at St. Vrain.
Well,
in the reservoirs, you've got, you know, trout, walleyes, your large and smallmouth bass, and then your white bass and wipers are really starting to school up. So whatever you really want to fish for, it's going to be a great time between now and the 4th of July to get out.
Oh, it really is. And I want to preface that a little bit by saying when we say it's a great time to get out, we mean the chances of success are better than normal. That doesn't mean you're guaranteed to catch fish. I don't care who you are, you're going to have days during the best and worst fishing when you don't catch fish, and sometimes during the worst fishing when you do. it just happens that way. The fish don't always listen to the show and know how they're supposed to act. But your chances of success, we're in what we call the summer peak, where a lot of the bait fish haven't hatched yet, but the water's warm enough where the metabolism of the fish is going strong, and they feed quite actively and sometimes all day long. And it typically you can get big fish. Typically, it's a numbers bite, but the action can just be fun, Brad. What are you hearing in particular about some bodies of water?
Well, you know, like I say, the ponds are doing really good for panfish and largemouth. The largemouth have got off their beds here just recently, and same with the bluegills. But along the North Front Range, Union is fishing really well for walleyes. Try running bottom bouncers and spinners out there in that 12 to 18-foot range, kind of at that weed edge. That same bite is taking place at Boyd. And with that, you're catching walleyes, white bass, and your large and smallmouth bass all mixed together. Now, Boyd also has a really good largemouth bass bite. The lake just came up about 8 feet in the last 2 weeks, and there's a lot of flooded brush. So if you're looking for those largemouth, spend some time in that newly flooded cover, and you're going to be able to get some fish. You might have to go a little bit heavier presentation, but you're going to have some good luck. And then if you want to go out in the Northeast, Jackson is fishing really good for wipers and walleyes trolling crankbaits, kind of along that dam area or that west side. And North Sterling is still just fishing phenomenal for walleyes and crappies out there. The lake's a little lower than normal, so it may take a little bit of time kind of looking for them, but there's a lot of fish getting caught out that way.
You know, you're absolutely right as far as this is a great time and there's bites everywhere. It's more about where you want to fish, but you still have to pay attention to how you want to fish. And we mentioned that bottom bouncer, and I'm going to use Glendale Reservoir as an example here because I've done several shows up there. They're on my YouTube channel, by the way. And Gary Darling and I used to go up and fish it quite a bit together. And I fished a number of tournaments up there back when I was still fishing tournaments. And early in the year, a typical year, the water at Glendale Reservoir would be back in the brush and back in the trees. Now, it doesn't always get there, but it used to be pretty typical. So you'd go up early, and those big fish would be back up in the trees chasing bait. There was cover. The water was rising. But then as you got to maybe the first part of June or so, or a little later, that water would recede out of the trees. And those fish would move out to the first break, which was usually anywhere from about 8, 10 feet down to about 15, 20 feet. The very depths you're talking about in the lakes like Union and Boyd. And you could jig for those fish, or you could do with a bottom bouncer. Now, a little later in June, that bottom bouncer and that jig bite would almost die, and people used to think you couldn't catch them, but Gary and I would go out there, and those fish had moved out. The shad had hatched, and they were over 60, 70 feet of water, 5 to 10 feet deep, following the shad suspended. But during that period of time, when you could get them with a bottom bouncer, the bottom bouncer is still, Brad, probably one of the most effective walleye presentations, even though you hear more about jigging wraps and jigs and new ways, and people troll crankbaits a lot. But boy, people would catch a lot of walleyes if they would learn to fish bottom bouncers.
Yeah, from a boat, a bottom bouncer is one, extremely effective. And the other thing about the presentation is it doesn't take long to really understand it. There's not a lot of nuances to it. It's more just making sure you've got the right amount of weight so that your line is somewhere between kind of that 45 and 60 degree angle back for the speed you're going. And then, you know, just adjusting the spinner type and spinner length, and it really catches a lot of fish. And so if people, you know, they've been selling a ton of boats this year. There's a lot of new anglers getting out on boats. If you're wanting to go out and catch some walleye or catch any fish, a bottom bouncer is a very effective method to present your bait in an area that there's a lot of fish. And it's not uncommon in a single day to catch bluegill and perch and trout and white bass and walleye and largemouth and smallmouth all on bottom bouncers up at Boyd. So it's not a presentation. Yeah, it's not a species-specific presentation. It works for everything.
Oh, you're typically pulling a nightcrawler, some kind of live bait. You can use artificials too, but you're going to get it in front of a lot of fish, and they're all probably feeding on similar stuff, and you're going to catch a lot of fish. I think one of the biggest mistakes a lot of people make, and if they go back and watch that video, it's on my YouTube channel, Best of Fishing with Terry Wickstrom, and it is they either drag the bottom bouncer on the bottom. Now, a lot of people think kicking up sediment and stuff helps attract fish, and it might, but you end up snagged all the time, or they have it way up in the water column, and it's a presentation that's really made to target the fish relating to the bottom. And I think that's the biggest mistake. What do you think?
I think those are two of the biggest mistakes, and usually when they let it out too long or they're not to the bottom, and like you say, they let out a lot of line, their problem is they're running too light of a bottom bouncer. If I were to go with one size, if someone wants to just go try it, I would get an ounce and a half. It may be a little bit heavy for those 8 to 15 or 12-foot ranges, but it will still work. And an ounce and a half is going to work out to about that 20-foot range where most of these fish are. And so keep that off the bottom. You want to be able to drop your rod tip and touch the bottom, but you don't want to be on it. Now, if you're in an area that's got some weeds or flooded brush of any kind, you also can raise that up just a little bit more, maybe one or two cranks off the bottom, and keep it out of those weeds, and you're still, in a sense, instead of bouncing bottom, you're bouncing the weeds. You're about a drop your rod tip to that weed or brush depth away, and you're still keeping that lure real close to where those fish are going to be. And I think one thing that people don't realize with the bottom bouncers are the longer the length of line you have behind that bottom bouncer, the lower that bait is going to ride, because the drag of the spinner and everything else is going to make it go lower. So if you're in a snaggy area or something, don't go with a long leader, but make that leader a little bit shorter, and you're going to avoid the snags and probably catch more fish.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, people think that the line rides up behind, and I worked within fishermen. We had divers down, and that line absolutely never got any higher than the top of the bottom bouncer, and the longer the leader, the lower in the water column your bait ran. It's just a great, great tip. You know, something that came along after it probably were some people out there doing it. They just weren't telling us, but something that's gained popularity since we did that show would be the slow death rig. Tell people kind of about that and how you fish that behind a bottom bouncer.
But wait, you're saying that tournament anglers keep things secret?
Well, I didn't.
Well, that's where the slow death, the crooked hook type design came about. Everyone's got their now kind of has their own version of it. But what it is it's a relatively light wire hook that has some sort of a bend along the shank of the hook that allows that bait to spin. And so it's not just sitting there going straight, just in a straight line. It actually has a little bit of a rotation to it. And the key to those hooks are you need to make sure that you put enough of the worm on there to get it down around the bend of the hook, and then not leave too much worm. Usually they work best on a half a worm, because that added drag of a whole worm kind of slows that spin down. And the nice thing about that presentation is you can work it fast, but it also, you know, the slow death hook works at about 0.4, 0.5 miles an hour. The spin drift hook from VMC works at like 0.3. It still gets that spin. So if you get in an area where maybe the fish are negative or neutral fish that aren't wanting to chase as much, you can slow that presentation down, and that rotation is so tempting. It looks like a wounded minnow in the water, and it really causes those fish to bite that maybe if you were using a normal spinner going at, say, 0.9, you'd get a few bites, but you're going past them so fast before they really are tempted to bite. So using one of those slow death, spindrift, any one of the crooked hooks that are out there, is a good option to get out there and catch a lot of fish. And that fight goes from, it starts fairly early. It starts all the way, you know, in May, and you'll be able to catch fish up until probably October using that presentation.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that people don't get away from using the standard spinners, the leaders with the spinners and the beads and the maybe one or two hooks with a night crawler. That Slow Death is a phenomenal rig, but you can cover more water and attract fish from more distance with the regular spinners. So if there's a hot bite going on, the Slow Death probably comes second. Even though it'll catch fish, you won't cover as much water. Brad, we are running out of time. If people want to get a hold of you, they want to book a guide trip, how do they do that?
They can find me on Facebook at Brad Peterson Outdoors, or they can give me a call at 303-829-3998, and we'll be happy, you know, I'd be happy to answer questions or get them out on a trip, help steer them in the right direction.
All right, my friend, we will talk soon. We have to get out on the water together soon.
Yes, we do, Terry.
All right, we'll talk to you again. Brad Peterson, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.